This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is a great CEO, co-founder of TX1 Networks. It's Terrence Liu. And guess what? TX1 is TXONE.com or TXONE-networks.com. Either one will get you to his amazing website. Great company. Terrence, welcome to the hot seat.
Hi, Gary. Very nice meeting you again.
Yeah, great to see you. Now, Trend Micro helped kick you guys off your early stage. You were incorporated in 2019. So you guys have, in these past few years, have been doing some amazing things from the edge to the endpoint. Tell us about it and any partnership arrangement or technology arrangement you have with Trend Micro that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners.
Yeah. Well, we are excited because OT cybersecurity has become a very big thing, especially, you know, we experienced the worm propagation breaches event back to 2016, 2017, right? And from 2019 and 20, now every month we've been witness, you know, big manufacturers or critical infrastructure operators being attacked, being hacked, being breached. So this has become a very serious problem. And at TX1, we understand the OT environment or ICS environment is very different from IT, right? I mean, OT is like different animal, different world. So OT customers, they need a specialized weapon, specialized security product to address their issues. And also, they also have very much limitation. For example, OT assets could be equipped with legacy operating system. Maybe they don't have internet access to get the update. Maybe they don't have enough computing power, right, to do a lot of inspection. And the maturity of their cybersecurity awareness and human resource could be different from company to company, right? So at the TX1, we actually craft three products. And those products are for, number one, endpoint inspection to check whether an asset has been hacked. And number two, endpoint protection, you can consider is industrial level antivirus software. And the last but not least is network defense, which is our industrial IPS or industrial firewall product to secure the network. So our three products actually across or 360 degree to protect the life cycle of an OT asset. The whole TX1 product focus is to protect the asset, the mission critical asset. In the beginning, to make sure when the asset are brought into the factory to the shop floor, its integrity is good, configuration is good, and our endpoint protection software could not only protect the asset from being breached by malware, it also can in advance to preserve the mission critical applications, because our software can recognize those applications. And our network box can not only provide micro-segmentation, virtual patching, it can further to analyze the network traffic and understand what kind of protocols and what kind of control command being communicated between the OT devices. So in short, we cover from the endpoint, the network, the applications, and from the life cycle when the asset been brought in like a staging period or in the production period. That's what we do.
So you've got some real intelligent behavioral analysis going on in your IPS technology. You've also got some endpoint technology that, have you developed your own wrapper around or enhanced Trend Micro's engine?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why, you know, some customers, they have had antivirus deployed in OT, but not so effective because their antivirus software need you know, signature, like a pattern update, but they couldn't have it, right? Because they don't have the internet access in the Shopflower. Mm-hmm. So actually it looks like they have the protection, but in fact they don't. And we do the antivirus with our AI and machine learning way. So we use behavioral-based detection to catch the malware. But you know, when people talk about the behavioral-based detection, you worry about like a false positive. How about, you know, your OT applications being categorized by anti-malware, said this is an abnormal application and kill it. Mm-hmm. And so that interrupt the operation, right? And defeat the purpose. So at TX1, we work with our partner, with our customer. We try to collect as many as possible those mission critical OT applications so we can recognize these applications. So number one, we don't need to scan these applications so we can save the very precious CPU power. And number two, because we know them, we recognize them. So we will not have the false positive against these mission critical applications.
Can we go through some sample places this works? For example, one of the first OT breaches or SCADA or ICS breaches was Target, and they went through their HVAC or their air conditioning system, which is a perfect example of operational technology, right? What does the air conditioning have to do with the internet? Nothing. But why does it have internet access? Or why, you know, so we've enabled a lot of old fashioned technology that was meant for whether it's air conditioning or water supply or, you know, moving the rods in and out of a nuclear facility and the reactor. There's so many things that are operational technology, you know, steel manufacturing plants with OT technology on the steel floor. So many places, power grids, you know, about the Colonial Pipeline. These are places that are at super high risk right now because of what cyber criminals, nation states, are they trying to ransom them? What are they doing at OT? Is this serious, like, cyber warfare going on?
Yeah, of course, of course. So you have different, let's say, you know, threat actors, right? And they are after different purposes. It could be money, right? It could be just to make, you know, some noise and like make you be like afraid of something, right? I mean, so we see very different cases. But today it all starts with ransomware. Mm. So let's say if it's like REvil, right? I mean, very infamous, notorious hacker group. They're just being called by Russia government, and you know they are after money, right? But in many cases, you know, we identify that the threat actor was actually, you know, after just to make some noise and try to make people, you know, afraid of, you know, this kind of cyber security breaches and etc. They try to use ransomware and they send you a note said they want the money, but they don't really want the money. I mean, you can even tell, right? For those cyber criminals, because if money is the focus, no matter how successful the attack was, asking for money is their first priority. But for those terrorists, you know, they do a lot of bad things, but they leave a small note, right? Could easily be categorized as a spam in the spam folder. So if you don't see any message or the message is not so clear, maybe it's not about the money.
Would you call it the use of ransomware for distributed denial of service attacks? You know, taking down intranets or you know, operational technology, taking down companies and governments and organizations and municipalities that are providing services. And so they'll fake that they're using the ransomware to get money, but by deploying ransomware properly, which is evil, they end up taking down a whole network. And now you have people offline. For example, nhs.gov.uk, the WannaCry didn't seem to be, it seemed to be nation state to me, because you know, they didn't make a lot of money. I don't know what they made, but they took down 1,400 computers in a healthcare system.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, so in our experiences, sometimes it's about like a critical infrastructure operators, but in other cases, it's just famous enterprises, and sometimes it's about money. Sometimes it's about just distributing the very worry atmosphere for the people. And especially right now, we have the warfare, right, in Europe. And so a lot of activities is going on. And if you think about, last year, when the water company in Florida, right, and their water being poisoned by hackers, right? And so, it's a lot of things going on here.
How would TX1 have handled this? And what would you recommend to a municipality who may be the next target, another water company? What would you tell them to do right away? And what would TX1 do for them?
Yeah, so number one, after investigation, hackers get into the water company through the VPN. And I think that's because a lot of credentials have been stolen, right? This and that, because many people don't have the good habit, which means they don't change the password frequently and they use the same password everywhere. But we cannot just rely on the procedures, right? You have so-called TTP, which is technology and procedure. So I think the technology is the last defense for these kind of things when procedure fall short. So at the TX1, I think how we can help them is with our networking technology, we can learn the network behavior and we can propose a network whitelist, which means we can define only a certain asset at a certain time period can change the proposition of the water or change the time to distribute how much percentage of the chemical and etc. So with this kind of policy in place, it will significantly aid and increase the difficulty for hackers, because right now most of the controllers, they don't have any authentication being in place, which means if the hacker sitting in the OT environment, they can simply send a control command with that protocol, maybe Modbus, and the controller just take the command and change the water. I mean, add more chemical than it should. But with our technology, we can restrict only certain time, certain device, or certain user can do that, while other people can maybe just read the configuration, read the parameter, but not change them. So we call this technology foresight strike. So basically, it's about digital trust. We learn about the network traffic, and we build a trust list, and then we enforce the policy. That's how we do this.
So Terrence, you're talking about time-based security, AI and machine learning, zero trust. You've done a lot of incredible things for operational technology that other companies never thought about. You're an innovator in this space, all the way down from the edge and the cloud protection, all the way down to a USB stick. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, because we call this about OT zero trust. So zero trust is a big thing in cybersecurity, because their traditional wall is dissolving. But I think the definition of zero trust is different in between IT and OT. Because in IT, zero trust is more about authentication. I think our customers care more about operation than anything. They want to have operational resilience. But today, operation is carried out by asset. So you think about the autonomous operation. It's a lot of asset to talk to the asset. But if one of your asset has been hacked, has been compromised, then the whole operation could be ruined, could be interrupted. So that's why we talk about we want to protect the mission critical assets. When the asset being brought in the shop floor and all the way to the production and even maintenance. And we do that with three of our products. And the first one is we call the portable security. It's a malware inspector, but in USB form factor. That's very interesting, just like this.
It's just carry wherever you go. You've got the latest and greatest malware inspector sitting on a USB stick. Does it need updates? Do you update it before you bring it to the device that needs to be inspected?
Yeah, sure. Because this is just the USB stick. So you just plug this USB stick to whatever computer can access internet. So the USB can update itself. And then you bring the USB to the targeted devices and the scan. So we have different use cases, like in pharmaceutical, because they have a very, very strict regulation. So they don't really want to install too many software. So this portable security thing is actually this. They just plug in, scan, and pull off. So they don't need to install anything. Or
what platforms, Terrence? What platforms are covered? Is it all of the Windows flavors or other platforms?
Yeah, it supports majority of the Windows, all the way from Windows XP, Windows 2000 to modern Windows, and the major Linux distributions as well. But the other very popular use cases is about supply chain security. So like a semiconductor companies, they now have, there is a new standard called E187. Mm-hmm. So E187, they ask the supplier of the semiconductor machine, which is very expensive, to make sure when they deliver the machine, it's virus free. Mm. So without portable security, they have to install antivirus onto the machine, do the scan, print out the report, and then uninstall the antivirus again. But with the portable security, it's just a plug-in.
What are you seeing on the cloud side and on the IPS side, on the kind of big enterprise scale side?
Yeah, so at TX1, we focus protect the shop floor and the level 0 to level 2 on any kind of ICS plants. So what we do is, after make sure the assets are legitimate and healthy when they get into the shop floor, we have both endpoint protection and the network protection. And our network protection products are either centralized, like a 1U or 2U, or distributed, which is like a wallet size. Because, Gary, the party who is in charge of OT security could be either security team or IT team or asset owner or like a production IT team, right? You have many different parties, and in different companies, it's different, it could be different. So like if it's IT in charge of OT security, they actually don't really want to, number one, install anything onto the asset because they don't want to touch the asset. And number two, they prefer to have the solution being deployed along with the switches, like in the rack, instead of just have to go to the shop floor to the production line and deploy the protection one device by one device by one device. Mm-hmm. So it's one of, because of the personnel, so they would choose this kind of centralized technology. Mm-hmm. But if it's like an asset owner, because they go to the shop floor all the time, right? So they prefer more flexible way. So they buy many like a small IPS boxes. They just place these boxes with wherever they want. So some customers, they have like a mixture. They have a centralized way along with the distributed way. It depends. But all our solution are the same. They provide micro segmentation. They provide virtual patching. Shield those vulnerabilities, which the asset owner never patch. And the third thing is they monitor the network behavior, detect the network behavior, and build their trust list, and then enforce it.
Yeah, people don't even know what, for example, if you look at the Carbonac breach that happened in Russia, they don't even know their ATM machines are running Windows, like Windows NT version 4 or something. Old versions of Windows or Windows 2000, and they're afraid to upgrade. They don't want to mess with the, you know, the physical device, even though it is running computing technology and maybe even has an internet connection, which is weird for ATM machines, but maybe it makes sense to banking. So it doesn't matter the infrastructure we're looking at. OT is everywhere. Operational technology is everywhere. And now that it's getting these internet connections, we're in pretty much serious risk without TX1.
Yeah. So actually at TX1, we always joke about, you know, we are actually protecting those computer systems, but they don't look like computers, you know. In semiconductor, it could be like a $30 million EUV, or in the like a railway, it could be like a traffic control system, right? It, like an ATM you have mentioned, or even POS, right? The point of sales of the retail. They are computers, but they don't look like computers. So like Gary, you mentioned, from time to time, they be equipped with the legacy operating system. Actually, in many of our install base, Windows 7 is the most popular operating system. Wow. And you know, Windows 7 have been end of sale, end of support, and now followed by Windows 8. So it's a bigger problem. So if you think about IT, right, you have the latest operating system, you have the antivirus software running, or EDR running on every laptop, and you have all the protection like anti-spam, WAF, IPS in the perimeter, and you still got hacked. So think about OT. You use the same computer, use the same networking technologies, but there's no protection. So at the TX1, we really focus on providing the protection technologies to cover the 360 degree of the mission critical asset.
Is there anything that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners that we haven't yet covered today?
Right now, in some of the vertical, the large enterprises are asking their supplier to make sure the deliverables are legitimate. And top on that, they also demand their supplier to have proper cybersecurity defense. So I think that will become more and more popular practice. And in this industry, we need to work together because this is so new, but hackers are so bad. So we have to work together hand in hand.
That's great advice. And TX1 is a market leader at ICS or OT, Operational Technology Cybersecurity, from the tiny portable USB stick from any endpoint to the edge to the cloud. You've got great solutions. You guys are an innovator. You've been originally founded and backed with help from an amazing company, one of my favorite, Trend Micro, a market leader. And you're doing your own innovations with AI and machine learning and just pushing the envelope to get one step ahead of the next threat. So for that, I really want to thank you for this wonderful hot seat interview. It's been great to catch up with you. I hope we can do this again another time soon.
Of course. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Terrence. And then folks, go to his website. You've got to go to his website, www.txone.com or txone-networks.com.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio with your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.